In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So far this Septuagesimatide, the weeks of preparation before Lent, we've covered already the story of, or the history rather, of Adam and Eve and the fall and their expulsion from paradise. And all this week we are continuing with the history of Noah and the great deluge and all of the rest. The world in the time of Noah was such a terrible place to be, morally speaking, that it says in sacred scripture that God repented of having made man. Not that he could ever change his mind or truly, in the strict sense, repent. That would imply some sort of a fault or an imperfection in God, which cannot be. But it nonetheless shows us how much sin has offended him. And he says, I will purify the earth of all that is bad. And for 40 days and 40 nights it rained and it poured. But he would save one man and his family, the one just man upon earth, the great Noah and his sons and his family. And from then he would repeople the earth, you might say. And nonetheless, even after that, man continued to sin, and sin very terribly against God. And that seems to be the whole history ever since Noah, sin, and terrible sins, even to this day, when we find ourselves in perhaps the most difficult situation in the church and in the world that has ever existed. The loss of our churches and our chapels, the loss of faith among so many people. And as a result of the loss of the faith and the destruction of the church in our times, there has resulted the downfall of society and the downfall of family life and everything that goes with it. The world is once more flooded with sin and with heresy and with apostasy. But our Lord, as I said last night, he's not this policeman with a whistle in one hand and a club in the other, ready to blow the whistle at our first mistake and to club us over the head and knock us out, or in other words, to send us to hell as soon as we commit a sin. No, you see this as we pray the Mass for the remission of sins. We see it in the Gospel. Ask and you shall receive. All we have to do is ask our Lord to forgive us our sins. We pray every time we say the rosary, particularly on the first Saturdays, O my Jesus, forgive us our sins. Save us from the fires of hell. We pray that. But do we really pray it? Do we really have confidence that our blessed Lord is hearing our prayers? Ask and you shall receive. That's a promise from our Lord. So don't let them just be empty words that fall off your lips, but mean them. Have confidence that our Lord, through his blessed mother, will grant you the forgiveness of your sins and deliverance from the fires of hell. You should go with great confidence. Now, also as I said last night, the ark, what does it symbolize? It symbolizes the Catholic Church. And you might say that the floods, the waters of the flood symbolize all of the sin and the dangers of this world. Well, those of us who are aboard the ship, Holy Mother Church, we have a refuge from the world and from sin and from the dangers that are out there for us, the dangers of soul and of heart. Now, also aboard this ship are all the means necessary to survive. Just as aboard Noah's ark, there was everything he needed to survive until the flood waters went back down and he could come off the ship. There was his food and lodging and everything else he needed. So aboard the Catholic Church, there's everything we need for the remission of sins. Think of the goodness of God, all the things that he has provided. First and foremost, baptism. Secondly, the confessional. For those who have committed sin, particularly mortal sin. But then there are other ways in which our lesser, the venial sins can be forgiven, and they are almost countless. Holy Communion, received fervently is one way of having your venial sins forgiven. The recitation of an Our Father, especially in those words, forgive us our trespasses. The recitation of the Hail Mary, or any other prayer really. The use of the sacramentals, the scapular, and the blessed metals, and other things like that. Holy water remits venial sin and grants you an indulgence as well. Then there are all the other little acts of atonement that you can do. Think of that during Lent. All the sins that you can have forgiven by your fasting and by giving up little things during your daily life. Nothing major. Our Lord doesn't expect that you have to work miracles and fast and do penance like the saints. He wants you to do penance like you. That is, to do what God wants. And it isn't that we have to do the fasting of the Kyrie of Ours, no. How about just observing the church's laws of fasting and abstinence and doing it for love of God? That's enough to have your sins pardoned, your venial sins. And how about the virtues in the home, practicing charity and all of those other virtues that make domestic life a very peaceful thing? That's a good penance. Or how about doing our prayers, but not just doing them to get them over with, but doing them well? That is also a good penance. When you sit down to do your meal, or when you lie down to take your rest at night, do you remember to offer it up for the love of God, for even the most temporal action, the most natural action that we do in the day should be meritorious. And if it is meritorious, it has the power to obtain for us the forgiveness of our sins. Let us never forget all of that. And then there's so many other countless ways that I won't mention here today, ways in which you can remit your sins, or at least remit some of the temporal punishment due to them. You see here the goodness of God. Let us continue, especially at the consecration, as we see the priest raise the sacred host in the chalice, symbolizing the crucifixion of our Lord, the raising him up on the cross. Let us then, above all, beg him for the remission of our sins and the temporal punishment due to them. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.